We start a new Pauline letter today, the letter to the Colossians. You noticed that, I suppose. The reader read out a reading from the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Now, how many people know where Colossae is? See, in your Bibles, there's a little map, right? And you could go look it up. Why? It helps to ground, you see, every day we hear the Word of God, it washes over us like a shower, you know, it doesn't seem to do much. That's not really true. But I mean, the more we exert ourselves, and you don't have to go buy an atlas, the basics are right there in just about any printed Bible. Anyway, Paul never visited Colossae, but he had a pastoral care for them, and he wrote the letter we're going to start reading. He says, you know, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now that's real prayer, you know. Paul spent many nights, all night, praying for all the people who have begun to believe, because they will surely be attacked by Satan. Surely. Because now they're out from under his power, they're on the way to eternal life, and they're making other people the same way. So he prays for all those churches he's evangelized and others. And Timothy is with him. Now when he says Paul and Timothy, it's always hard to know whether he means, I'm writing this and Timothy says hello too, or whether they collaborated on the letter, we don't know. And then, once again, I'm going to read this slowly and see if you could pick out what he's doing here. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Did you hear it? Faith, hope, love. He often does this because those are the three basic qualities, endowments, that come with the life of God given to us in baptism and restored if we need it. But believe. See, Council of Trent says faith is the root and source of salvation. And it's a pure gift. Pure gift. And that our ability to receive it is a pure gift. God loves us and wants us to be with him forever. So he allows us to believe in Jesus, who taught us, as you just heard this morning, but also who died for us. And so, you see, of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And it is at work in you. There's a power to this message. If we take it in, it'll change our lives. If we listen to it, pass an exam about it, go home, might not make much difference. But if we take it in, and he said, I heard all about you from Epaphras. See, he had to hear because he'd never been there. But he had a sense from the Lord to write to them. And as we go through this letter, I think you'll see how grateful we are that he obeyed that sense from the Lord. The teaching in this letter is very profound and beautiful. And it's also the letter in which, as you'll see, maybe even as soon as tomorrow, when did we end these? No, probably not. It is now my joy to suffer for you and to make up in my own body what is wanting to the sufferings of the Christ. Now, what could possibly be wanting to the sufferings of Christ? Nothing. But the Christ, ho Christos, that's the church. I won't start on that. I won't have anything to say when we have to read it. Anyway, we'll get there soon enough. Now, in the same order as Mark, now, after healing all those people, driving out the demon in the synagogue, Jesus goes into the house of Simon. And Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever. Now notice this too. You see, there's a rhythm here. They interceded with him about her. Now, he stood over her and rebuked the fever. What else does Jesus rebuke? Satan. So he discerns that this is caused by a spirit. So he rebuked the fever and it left her. Now, what does she do? She got up immediately and waited on them, served them. See, that's the completion. Because it's not just a healing, it's a vocation call. In other words, we're called to serve. She got up and served them all. It says the same thing in Mark, she got up and served them. In Matthew, she got up and served him. Now, why does Matthew do that? She certainly got supper for everybody, right? To accent the depth of the relationship between Jesus and this person. Now, that's a vocation story and not just a healing story. And that's why we can meditate on that, because all of us were sick. All of us were healed by Jesus. Whether we were physically sick or just morally sick, we were sick. And he healed us. So now we can serve. That's the whole point. The healing is not complete until there's service. Because that's when it reaches its fulfillment, right? So then people heard about this, right? If you ever, some of you been to Capernaum? Anybody here? Yeah, you know what it is. It's a tiny little thing, huh? And here's Peter's house. It probably is. Why do I say probably? Well, you know, I studied archaeology for a long time, so everything's probable, you know. Because there's one house, and all the other houses around it were knocked down. And I mean, the houses are as big as, oh, not as big as that area right there. Or maybe that big. And the other house around it, so that people could have a shrine where Peter's house, you see. And so they're all outside, and look what Jesus did. He laid his hands on each of them. There might have been 50, 60, they're all clamoring. If you've ever been in a Mediterranean, especially a Semitic crowd, I mean, you know, they're all pushing and shoving. And he's laying his hands on every one of them. Didn't miss a one. And he cured them all. Well, that stirs up opposition, right? So the demons came out, shouting, "You are the Son of God." Now, why were they doing that? Because if Jesus gets validated by the demons, he's not much of anything, is he? They're trying to ruin the esteem people have. If the demons are saying he's this great, there must be something wrong with them. See? Spiritual war. And so that's why he said, get out and be quiet. He knew what they were doing. If all the demons are applauding, you know, or saying you're the Son of God, well then, no, he's in league with them somehow. That's what the Pharisees try to accuse him of, right? He drives out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub, remember? And our Lord says, look, if a kingdom's divided against itself, it's not going to stand. And then another argument, if I drive them out by Beelzebub, what about your people? Who do they drive them out with? In other words, these fights, you see, are intense. Jesus knows. He's fighting for their salvation. He's healing them so that they could be alleviated of their suffering, but also so that their hearts would be open to receiving the blessing of the Father. Believe in Him. Follow Him. Receive from Him. That's why the healing ministry is so important, because it's such a tremendous witness. And everybody's interested in healing, you know. If you give a lecture on the theology of Mark, you get 20 people. Have a healing service, you get hundreds. We're interested in our bodies, you know. Good thing. Jesus does that on purpose. He heals to show us the mercy of the Father. And He says, you see, most of the time, not this time, and notice, He rebuked, I pointed this out before, this is only in Luke, He rebuked the fever because it was demon-caused. And He rebuked the source of the fever. And so she got up then and waited on them. Her vocation is now beginning to be complete. She's been called, she's been healed, and now she serves.